What happened to us Israelis? In the war, a lot of things happened. Some will fade with time, some will stay for a while, and some might be with us for a very long time. One way to trace the change is by listening to what Israelis say about themselves. Not what politicians claim about the public, not what commentators assume, but what real people report when someone calls and asks them to place themselves on a political map. Last week we reported that Israel became more traditional. Today we look at ideology, where the story is slightly different. When it comes to ideology, there is no need for a familiar. On the one hand, most Israelis became more traditional, and, on the other hand, seculars became less traditional. On the question of left and right, everybody is moving in the same direction. To the right, we should be precise about what we measured. We asked people to tell us where they were politically before the war, and where they place themselves today. This is not a measure of concrete movement over time, but a measure of felt movement. Israelis say, "I moved to the right." Did they really? That will require other datasets. But the very fact that they feel they have moved is meaningful. When an Israeli says, "I shifted to the right," he or she is sending us a message. I became more suspicious of peace processes, more skeptical of concessions, more demanding about security guarantees. "I moved right" is another way of saying, don't expect from me the same positions I expressed before the war. My situation changed, my stance changed. To capture this movement, we used an unusually detailed scale. Not the classic five definitions, left, center right, right, but nine rungs, from deep left to deep right. Why? Because many people feel a slight shift that is not strong enough to justify jumping from center to right. On a coarser 5-point scale, they will stay where they are. On a 9-point scale, they can inch from center to right, close to center, or from right to deep right, and we can see it. And this is, in fact, what we see, not dramatic leaps from left to right, but small, consistent steps to the right. A notch here, a notch there. From left close to center to center. From center right to moderate right. From right to deep right. In most cases, it's one step on the ladder. But it happens almost everywhere, in almost every group. Take one example from the table behind the survey. The table is on the right-hand column. Among Israelis who say that before the war they were right close to center, only a bit more than a third, 36%, say they are still right close to center today. The rest moved. Some of them moved left or to the center, but many more moved right. 29% now define themselves as moderate right, 17% as right, and 7% as deep right. Add these up, and you get a clear result. 53% of this group shifted to the right. A majority of those who were already somewhat right-wing moved further right. Once you understand how the table works, it becomes easy to see the pattern. For most starting points on the ideological scale, there are more people moving right than left. In many groups, the main move is just one step, but it is almost always in the same direction. The deep right has nowhere to go, so it mostly stays put. The center and the center left still exist, but many within them report a gentle drift rightward. The deep left is so small in the sample that we cannot say anything statistically meaningful about it, which is, in itself, a kind of result. This is similar to what happened to Israelis 25 years ago. A Palestinian campaign of violence, the Second Intifada, leads to a change in attitudes among those under attack. After the Second Intifada, Israel became significantly more right-wing on diplomatic issues and never truly swung back. The peace camp of the 1990s evaporated in the 2000s. Of course, there is still an Israeli camp that calls itself center or center-left, but it is no longer defined primarily by its stance toward the Palestinians. On that front, much of this camp accepts what used to be called right-wing positions, deep suspicion of Palestinian intentions, insistence on strong security control, skepticism about a final status agreement. A country that has lived through another round of trauma, and that now sees itself, and its political place on the map, somewhat further to the right than before. The coming campaigns are likely to be fought less over Oslo and more over the Supreme Court, over ultra-Orthodox conscription, over corruption and governance. Something I wrote in Hebrew. What happened in Lebanon, Israel's targeted killing of Hezbollah's military chief of staff Haitham Ali Tabatabai, is more proof that Gaza is far from being solved. Here is the question for the commanders of the future international force in Gaza. Will you open fire when you see armed Hamas operatives facing you? Will you open fire when you discover someone transferring ammunition shipments? Will you open fire when you encounter resistance to the execution of your missions? This seems to me like a rhetorical question. It is clear they will not open fire, and therefore it is quite clear that the international force supposedly meant to transform Gaza is nothing more than an illusion sold to the natives in exchange for an agreement to stop fighting. A week's numbers. To understand these numbers, from JPPI, read column above. A reader's response. Maya E. asks, do Israelis follow the resurgence on anti-Semitism in America? My response, they follow, but don't necessarily understand. Anti-Semitism isn't a feature of Israeli lives. Shmuel Rosner is senior political editor. For more analysis of Israeli and international politics, visit Rosner's domain at jewishjournal.com/rosnersdomain.